All right, turn over in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 56. Just going to read one short verse. Continuing with our highlights from Isaiah. There's so much in this book. If any preacher is looking for seed thoughts for sermons, all you have to do is read the book of Isaiah, and it's full of them. So, that's what I'm finding. Isaiah 56 and verse 10. Says, "His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber." And let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless the message today. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would just invade this place and in our lives today. That sin and selfishness and the flesh would flee, and that you would have your way in each heart. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us in a powerful and special way today. I know some of us are tired and maybe a little weary, but Lord, you've said that when we are weak, then we're strong because of you. We hold to that promise today. Lord, I pray that you would just really bless this time. May it account for eternity, Lord, and we just ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. This text is kind of offensive, isn't it? It's talking about these watchmen who are blind and ignorant, dumb dogs that can't bark, and sleeping and slumbering. It's very, very harsh. But I want to remind you of something. I'm not saying this, okay? God said it. Okay? So we have to take it from him and see what he has for us in this today. By and large, this is applied to the prophets of the day, the priests, the leaders of the people, those who were responsible for the spiritual well-being of the people. They were unfaithful watchmen. They laid down on their job. They were not doing what they were called to do. The word watchman is a word that's used a lot in the Old Testament regarding guards who were stationed on the wall of the city, and it was their job to watch out for invading enemies, armies coming, and they were high up on the wall where they could see a long distance. It was a great vantage point to see the oncoming enemy. And it was their job then to warn the people who were probably sleeping at the time or whatever that an army, an enemy army, was approaching. If the watchmen are unfaithful and they let down their job, if they are blind, they can't see the enemy coming. If they're ignorant, they don't even know that it's an enemy. If they're dumb dogs that cannot bark, they don't say anything. They're sleepy and slumbering and lying down on the job, then they're not faithful watchmen. Ezekiel also speaks about watchmen, Ezekiel 33. And it talks about the accountability that watchmen have. Ezekiel 33 and verse 6, it says, "But if the watchmen see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. The watchman has a responsibility for the people he is watching out for. Now, I want us to apply this today, if we could, in our families. And I want us to see that every family has a watchman. Who is the watchman, Nathan, in your family? You are. That's right. Tyler, who's the watchman in your family? You are. Okay, as it is in every family. I guess I'm speaking largely to the fathers today, and also to the mothers, of course. You're the assistant watchman, in a sense. And so, I want us to apply this today, if we could. We need to be, parents need to be held, parents are, as a matter of fact, God holds parents responsible for being watchful over their children. Do you agree with that? Anybody agree with that? Eric? Yeah? Okay. If something happens, your child does something, gets involved in something they shouldn't get involved in, and now they have a direct responsibility. I've talked about dual responsibility before, but they have a direct responsibility to God. But you, as the watchman, are also held responsible for the failure of your child. Parents, we need to take this seriously. There are a lot of verses about this sort of thing, other verses, and we'll be looking at some of them as we go along here, but Proverbs 22, verse 3, and also 27:12, they word for word, they say exactly the same thing. It says this: a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man is somebody who can see afar off. He foresees the evil. He looks, he's standing on the wall as a watchman, and he sees the enemy coming. He sees and he sounds the alert, and he's being responsible in a time like that. He's prudent. He's foreseeing the evil. The word prudent there actually means crafty. Crafty. What we need is crafty parents. You see, we have an enemy. And our enemy has been in the business of deceiving people for 6,000 years. You know what that means? That means he's very good at it. He's very experienced. And parents, he's a lot more experienced at it than you or I. And he's definitely a lot more experienced at it than your children. So God has placed you, parents, in that position of watchman because the enemy, the devil, is after your children. I'm going to get into that point a little bit more in a moment. But I want you to think about that. Parents are also told, or we're actually put in charge of our children. We are stewards of our children. That doesn't mean that we own our children. They belong to God. Agreed? Our children belong to God. But God has placed us as parents as their guardian or as their stewards to care for them, to protect them, to take care of them. And it is our job to do a good job as a steward. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Parents who are not faithful in their parenting will have to give account of that to God one day. Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 this is with qualifications for pastors, but it says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. The steward, the pastor is a steward of God over the flock. I am responsible for everyone in this church. And I'm going to give an account one day to God. And by the way, that scares me to death. I'm going to give an account to God one day for how every one of you do spiritually. That's an awesome responsibility. I want to tell you that. It's heavy. But I take it seriously. But I want to tell you something, that every father in every home is a pastor of his home. And he has the same kind of responsibility for his home, for his children. He's a steward of his children. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you. Kids, who has the rule over you? Mom and dad, right? Okay. That better be the way it is. Okay. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they what? Watch for your souls. Now this verse is normally used in regard to pastors, but it applies certainly to parents as well. Because parents are in a position of authority in the home, and they have a responsibility to be watchmen over their children. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Every parent will give account for how he was a watchman of his children. Now I want to give you several areas today in which parents need to be watchmen in the home and other places. Parents need to be watchmen, first of all, because there are bad influences all around. There are plenty of bad influences out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're talking about influences now for a while. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Communications, that's an old English word that simply means companions and buddies. And actually, the word communications, that's a good translation, because what happens when our kids get together and they're buddies and they're, what do? They talk. They communicate, don't they? That's right. And what is communicated then, if it isn't good, if it's evil communications, what happens? It corrupts good manners. And again, good manners is an old English expression that refers to morals, not just thank you and please and stuff like that. It's talking about good morals. Be not deceived, evil communications, evil friends, in other words, buddies, close friends, whoever you hang out with, corrupt good morals. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Now, parents, listen. If your kids get with some other kid and you don't like what is coming back, the feedback from that, maybe it's because you weren't being a watchman. of your kids. Consider that. And talk more about that in a minute. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Proverbs 28, verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. Riotous simply means loose morally. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now there's an illustration used throughout the Bible about this that we should take a moment to look at. And it's the illustration of leaven. And Jesus spoke about that in Matthew 13:33. He said, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So leaven is a picture of corruption. And, we all like bread, but we want to put yeast in it, right? I tell you, but that's corruption, okay? That's bacteria. And, it doesn't hurt you. The kind of bacteria doesn't hurt you. But that's what it is. And what does it do? It permeates the whole pile of dough. And that's why you raise it for a while before you put it in the oven. Give it a chance for that to happen. And it does happen. And pretty soon you get a nice loaf of bread. But the application here is that it doesn't take very much corruption before the whole loaf is, in that sense, corrupted. Okay? In Mark chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus warned his disciples and said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees, well, you know what Phariseeism, that's thinking, oh, I'm better than everybody else, you know. I'm a good little boy. That's Phariseeism. But what's the leaven of Herod? Well, in Jesus' day and during the time of the apostles, Herodianism was popular in Israel, surrounding nations, and it was a very, very immoral culture, is what it was. Very, very immoral. So that's what the leaven of Herod is, immorality. So, where might we find leaven? We have a very separated church here. I think you'll have a hard time finding a church with as high standards as what we have. I think that's probably the case. I don't know. I haven't been to a lot of other churches. I can't say that for sure. And by the way, don't get pharisaical over that, okay? That's the warning there. We're all dirty sinners, right? Amen? Okay. We've got to make sure we keep that perspective. But many of us are come to this church, maybe for other reasons too, but partially for that reason, because we are very separated from the world, and we recognize the horrible things that the culture is doing and how it's permeated the churches and so forth. And we resist that. We fight against that. But as good, if you want to use that word, as we could say that this church is, I want to warn you about something. You see, everyone in our church, every family in our church, we do have much in common. There's no question about it. And I'm just thrilled with what God's done in our church. Yet, and I underline that word, I capitalize it in my notes, and I highlight it. Yet, every family has some differences. Will you acknowledge that? Every family has some differences. If you come to me with a complaint about somebody, some kid talking to your kid and being a bad influence on your child, I will listen patiently, humbly to you, and sympathetically. But I'll tell you right now what I'm going to say to you. I'll tell you ahead of time, okay? Now, you probably will never do this now because I'm going to tell you this. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'll say, do not try to correct other kids or their parents. Instead, be parents who are watchmen. You need to know where your kids are all the time, what they're doing, who they're with. I'm talking about a church. Okay? Who they're with, who is watching them. If somebody has been designated to watch your kids, maybe it's your wife or maybe an older child in the family, that's fine. But are they a reliable watchman? You need to know that. And you need to check up on it and make sure that they're doing their job. Amen? Now, I'm not saying these things to get after anybody or anything else. I'm trying to prevent problems here, okay? This is something, that a problem that we could have in our church. Because I'll say it again, every family has some differences. A little different perspective on some things. And we need to be careful about this. Listen, if we're going to have a church, if we're going to have harmony in our church, and we're going to have a good spirit in our church, we've got to get a handle on this, folks. Amen. Every parent needs to be responsible to be the watchman over their own children. We built this covered deck out here largely for that very purpose. So while the kids are out there playing on the toys out there, on the playground equipment out there, parents go out there and watch. Keep an eye on the kids. It's kind of hard to do, and we're inside the building there, and they're out there. Can't see what's going on. Now, you say, man, but as you know, we come to church, and we need some time to fellowship with others, and I know that. I know that. The problem is, some of you are like I am. You're one trackers. Anybody else one tracker besides me? Huh? Yeah. And it's really easy. I mean, we get focused on what we're talking about, what we're fellowshipping and sharing with one another. And our kids, we don't know what in the world our kids are doing. If you're going to do that, And I want you to do that. I want us to be able to do that. But when we do that, make sure that you put somebody in control or in charge to be a watchman of your kids during that time. Don't let this thing go by and just think that everything's going to be okay, because it might not be okay. Let me ask you something. We had visitors last Sunday. Remember the box? Great family. I noticed something. I don't know if anybody else noticed this or not. Big family. But wherever the dad was, where were the kids? Anybody know? Alex, where were the kids?
They were right there.
The kids wanted to be with the parents, because that's how they were taught. Teach your kids to want to be with your parents. What's the parents? What's wrong with that? You know? Now I'm not saying they can't have friends. I'm not saying that they should never have, you know, get to play with one another and stuff like that. I'm not saying that. But while they're doing that, make sure you know what they're doing, who they're with, and make sure there's somebody who's watching them that you can rely on. I want to tell you, this is part of the job of a watchman, because there are some bad influences. You say, where are the bad influences in our church? I don't know. I don't know if there are any, but there could be. You know, I don't know. Be careful. The parents are the ones that are responsible. All right. Something else. Another area that the watchman needs to watch out for and be careful about is the fact that, you know, just let's just say everything is great. Everything is going good. I mean, you're doing a great job. You're watching the kids at church. You're watching the kids at every place. And man, and then they're at home. I want to ask you something. Are you a watchman at home? Oh, man. We homeschool our kids. We protect them from outside influences. We're a good Christian home. Can I tell you a little story about a family like that? I mean, they were the epitome of a great Christian family. But as the years went by, kids became teenagers. Some horrible, shocking thing came finally to the parents' attention. All the kids weren't ever around anybody else, hardly. They were pretty much isolated. But they were committing terrible immorality amongst themselves in the home. Parents, be watchmen in the home. Know what your kids are doing at home. Be watchmen in the sanctity of the church and of the home. Don't forget what Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Every one of your children has a deceitful, wicked heart. Do you know that? You look at these poor, sweet, little, innocent girls. Right, Jared? Just as sweet. I mean, certainly, these are good girls. They're sweet girls. They would never do anything wrong, right? Well, the Bible says that their hearts are desperately wicked. It's hard to grasp that, isn't it? I mean, look at those sweet little pink grasses. It's true. Our children are infected with the disease that we gave them, called a sinful nature. Don't ever forget that. Don't be deceived into thinking you have good kids that can do no wrong. That's a huge mistake. Parents, you need to be watchmen in your homes. Parents, you need to be watchmen because the devil is after your children. Make no mistake about that. If we look at Titus chapter 2, we talked about this in our men's meeting a while back. Titus chapter 2 says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Why sober there? Well, that word sober means to be watchful. The aged men, I don't think that's talking about my age. I think it's talking about Tyler's age and Nathan's age and Brother Mark's age. Derek and the rest of you. That's what I think. The mature men are to be watchful. Why? Because they have children, families, to be watchful over. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8, the word is used two more times there. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. This is, of course, talking about the return of Christ. And verse 7 says, for they that sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober, there it is again, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. So, excuse me. So watchmen are to be sober or awake. They're to be alert. They're to be watching. Simple as that. As our text says, what is the problem with these watchmen? They were sleeping. They were lying down. They were blind. They were loving to slumber. They were dead dogs that couldn't bark. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, there's the word again. Be sober or watchful. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Vigilant, again, means to be wide awake and alert. Where sober means to be watchful, vigilant means to be wide awake and alert. Now, a mother gazelle is grazing in the field. Nice, tall, lush, green grass. She has a little one that she has kind of hidden in the grass over here, so predators wouldn't find it. And she is distracted by this wonderful grass that she is grazing in. And this little one decides that he's tired of just lying there, and he gets up and he begins to wander a little bit. He wanders off a little more and a little more. But there's an enemy watching. A lion is crouched in the long grass, hidden in the long grass, and very slyly and slowly creeping up on this little gazelle. The mother is totally unsuspected because she's busy. She's enjoying the lush green grass. She doesn't notice. She's not being watchful. When the lion gets close enough, he pounces on the little one. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The lion always looks for the weaker one, the young one, the easy prey. The devil may know that he can't get you, parents. He's given up on you, maybe. No, maybe not entirely. But mostly. But he has hope for the next generation. And he is not done yet. And he is very experienced and he knows how to do this. And he is sneaky. And he is sneaking up in the tall grass while you're busy doing something else, parents. And he is sneaking up on your young ones. And you're unaware until he pounces. And it's too late. This is very real. Parents, I hope you'll take this to heart. The devil is after your children. And that's how he's going to do it. He's not going to come boldly in there. I mean, a lion can't outrun a gazelle. And the lion knows it. The only animal that can, a gazelle can get up to 60 miles an hour. I mean, they run fast. The only animal that can outrun a gazelle is a cheetah. And they can run about 70 miles an hour. But a lion, he doesn't have that ability. His way of going about it is sneaky. And he didn't try to get the mama. He's after the little one. The weak one. The inexperienced one. And that's going to be his lunch. And the devil, kids, listen, the devil wants to have you for lunch. Parents, don't let it happen. You're the watchman. You're the watchman. Parents, we need to be watchmen because our culture is so wicked today. You know, my parents should have been better watchmen of me. I see that now. But that was 60-some years ago, 60 to 70 years ago. You know? The culture has changed, folks. I've watched it change. What was sinful then, and there was sin then, no question about it, very sinful things then. But it was all in the closet. It was always shameful. Now it's bold and out in the open, and it's the thing to do. And the culture wants to embrace our children. Understand that? The culture is after our children. The culture is nothing but a tool of the devil. They're not even, you know, a lot of parents thought their kids would be safe if they put them in a Christian school. No, they're not. Parents then thought they'd be safe if they homeschooled them. They're not safe at home even. I'll tell you why. Because the devil had a plan. You see, I think somewhere along the line, the last 50 years or so, I think there was a council, and I'm just going to tell you a make-believe story, but it could be true, okay? I think the devil had a council meeting. And I think he called all his demons to this council meeting. And the devil saw that he wasn't getting very far. And he needed to come up with a plan. Because, you know, he was going to be planning on being around for a while. And the generation that was present then, they weren't buying his stuff very well. And he needed to come up with a new plan so that he could get this next generation. And so he started asking for some thoughts from all of his imps. One of the more prominent ones spoke up and said, "I have an idea, sir. What we will do, we will invent computers, cell phones, the internet. Amongst other things, technology. And it will appear to be a good thing. And some people will probably use it for a good thing, but we will use it for something else. What we will do is we will go into these good Christian homes where we're having difficulty penetrating. And what we will do is we will get some technology in there, maybe some cell phones and some iPads and some video games and some things. But we're gonna now listen, we got to be careful here. Because these parents are pretty smart. And they'll recognize something that's got any kind of a demon flavor to it or a devilish flavor to it at all. They'll recognize that. So we have to be really careful about this. This is how we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to get this into the home, some video games and things like that into the homes that will be very harmless. Just fun things, you know. The devil says, "Okay, then what?" Well, then as time goes along, what you watch. What'll happen is these kids, they'll really like these video games and things, and they'll get kind of attached to that, and maybe even get their parents involved in it too, and they'll get kind of addicted to it. You know, so they just, you know, really like it. And then little by little, we'll just change things just a little bit. Real slowly now. Now you got to be careful. Don't do this too quick because it'll be recognized. But real slowly, we'll change things a little bit. We'll introduce some things. At first they won't recognize it. But by the time they actually recognize it, it'll be too late. They're hooked. They're hooked. And we'll have them. Parents, you need to be watchmen. What are your kids doing? I don't know how much more warning I can give you. Take it from an old guy, if you would. that's been around for a while, and I've seen it. I've seen this happen over and over and over again. I'm brokenhearted at so many families. Good families. Started out as good families and went down this very road. I'm not just talking about video games now. I'm talking about a lot of things. But went down this very road. And just little by little, Satan the devil just kept creeping in a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Until they're hooked. And then parents are brokenhearted because they lost their child to the world. Oh my. What a heartbreak for Christian parents. What a heartache. But it didn't happen all at once. It happened probably when the children were little and the parents failed to be watchmen. Parents, will you be committed today to be watchmen over your children? I hope so. I hope so. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just help each parent here to understand the utmost importance of this that we're talking about today. Lord, this is so crucial. It's true, Lord. I believe we have some really good kids in our church. But I also know that Satan the devil wants every one of them. He is lurking in the tall grass as a roaring lion, plotting, conniving, watching, deceiving, waiting for his opportunity to pounce. And pounce he will do. Protect our children, I pray. And make our parents watchmen, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.